Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's indigenous knowledge, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Pohai Panoki, and she is with Purple Maya and is the managing director over at Purple Prize, and she's here to talk about something kind of brand new called Hulihia Labs. Hey, Pohai, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Hey, aloha, Bert. Mahalo for having me.
And Pohai, so you've been involved with Purple Maya for a little while now, right? And so give us a little bit of background on your involvement with Purple Maya, as well as your kind of oversight of the Purple Prize and now, you know, Hulihia Labs. So what's the kind of the history of your involvement with Purple Maya?
Yeah, I'd love to. So really, my involvement started with myself as a participant in Purple Maya programs. And so this goes back to roundabout 2019. I had interfaced with their very first cohort of design thinking. They had just launched 2019 a program called Kumaka Inanna. I took that program. I ended up, you know, ideating an app, a mobile app, got pushed into a program called Purple Prize, which they had already been running for a few years. Mm-hmm. And that was really my first interaction with Purple Maya. Fast forward, you know, 4 or 5 years from then, you know, we kept in touch. Purple likes to keep people within this ecosystem, this ohana of our network, right? So they reached out to me looking for, you know, new director. And fast forward, I'm the director of the program that I participated in now all those years back then.
Yeah, no, and I remember, you know, meeting you back during the, I guess it was the Indigenous Connectivity Summit. So that was, 2019. Yeah. And it was probably your sort of brand new involvement, experience, exposure to some of this technology, especially, you know, in the context of like Nation of Hawaii and Puhonua Waimanalo. So that was great. And it's great to hear that you're, you know, back involved. Now, you know, with Purple Prize, I've had people like Alec on the show, right? And so he's been involved, but he's kind of moved on. So you've sort of taken that managing director role.
Yeah.
And so maybe just for quick history, like what was the whole sort of concept behind the Purple Prize?
Yeah, the idea behind Purple Prize, this was really started by Donovan, Kelsey, Alec, and Kamulainos back in the day.
Right.
And the concept was what does it look like, this concept of like Hawaiians and technology and Hawaiian culture and Hawaiian concepts, values in technology. What does that look like? And what would it look like to create an accelerator built upon that? And so that's really how Purple Prize was born. It became this technology accelerator where people kind of ideated apps, both software and hardwares that were really kind of meant to be aligned with our local views, our Hawaiian views, and whatnot.
Now, when you refer to it as an accelerator, was the idea kind of like, you know, because I've seen a number of different environments where it could be building a prototype. It could be as a result of, a hackathon, right? Then you get into a more, I wouldn't say rigorous, but more, there's a higher expectation if it's an accelerator, right? Because at a point when people are starting to actually invest in something, that something needs to be pretty, you know, well thought out. It has to have a pretty good team. It has to have kind of all the makings of a startup that somebody would perhaps invest in with the intent of helping that startup grow to the point where it could actually perhaps, you know, get that investment back to the investor, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the investor accelerator model. So when looking at the Purple Prize, was it already always intended to be the accelerator model? Did it sort of, it kind of, I mean, in the beginning, it sort of started off kind of like a hackathon, right?
Yeah, so the way that they would do it in the beginning was they started off the weekend of, you know, the program with a hackathon and kind of started taking ideas from that and pushing it into what the Purple Prize program would be, kind of into a almost incubator slash accelerator hybrid. And you're right, yeah. So the concept was they would intake projects that were already, the ideas were already kind of fairly developed. So that was the point of the hackathon, right? So that you could actually develop. So so it's a little bit different now, speaking of where now you don't really need a we can talk about that later, but now you don't really need a idea before you enter the program.
Well, what I'm getting at is how it has evolved. So, you know, from that early stage of the hackathon kind of environment, and I remember when the initial kind of call out to participate in the Purple Prize. I mean, it was really like, in a way, like a startup, kind of like a startup weekend where people would come in, they would have ideas, they would form a team, they would look at maybe, you know, creating kind of a prototype. And you're right, it, you know, once that phase of prototype is done, then the opportunity to perhaps kind of jump into like a accelerator format, which is, like I said, more rigorous.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that also depends on who's investing, right? So, and finding money for that kind of maybe even specialized field is something of a challenge, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah, the way that a program is structured, you know, kind of limits what we can go after. So it's structured as an incubator, accelerator, you know, we're kind of really limited to accelerator funding and things like that. And just as well, you know, that determines what the participants, what's expected of them, what they're expected to turn out. It has to be of a certain level that is, you know, kind of attractive to investors and things like that.
Right, exactly, and it really puts a little bit, not a little bit. It probably puts another level of pressure on the participants, right? Because if you're coming in for a hackathon, it's kind of, you know, the load is relatively light. You want to come up with a prototype, you know. It's sort of like you enjoy this intense moment of coming together, but when you move into the whole kind of phase of accelerator, you have to basically have a strong team, right? And the team, you know, is not one that you just happen to meet over the weekend. You have to have a team that now is ready to stand behind
a
company, right? Yeah. So anyway, so I do want to kind of transition from how the Purple Prize kind of evolved to Hulihia Lab. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Pohai Banoke. She's the managing director of the Purple Prize. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Pohai Banoke, who is with Purple Mai'a and is the managing director of the Purple Prize. And we're talking about the sort of the evolution of something relatively new called Hulihia Labs. And right before the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the kind of challenges with Purple Prize as an accelerator. And, you know, there's a lot of different requirements now that come to bear on a team that might want to go down that path of being an accelerator. So, Pohai, I mean, you kind of described some of the challenges, right? I mean, obviously one is investors and then satisfying what the investors want as a result of investing in a startup. And typically, if they invest, they're going to want, you know, they're going to want a percentage, and they're going to want to have a means by which that percentage kind of grows so that their investment grows, right? And then there's ultimately an exit strategy that gets the the money out of the company.
There's a lot of pressure, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. So then what happens? What happens now? Now that, you know, you've kind of experienced that requirement, maybe that's kind of grounds for how you might want to maybe redesign, and maybe that's where Hulihia Labs comes in.
Oh, exactly. Yes, that's kind of like the whole groundwork that moves us into what Hulihia Lab is. So Purple Prize was amazing. It served a purpose, and a lot of you know, techies who were already into tech were the ones that filtered into Purple Prize. Now the difference with Hulihia Lab is that it's now more open, because you don't have to be someone that is already into tech. You don't already have to be an app designer. You don't have to be a coder. And so really the purpose of that word lab is that it's an experiment, and it's for you to kind of get into this world of ideating and validating and prototyping technologies. And so that's one of the biggest probably differences between the old Purple Prize format and now what we're calling Hulihia Lab. And additionally, with, you know, an accelerator, again, we were talking earlier about how you kind of have to have an existing idea, right? You got to be pretty solid when you come into applying for an accelerator. But with Hulihia Lab, we don't require people to come in with an existing idea, existing team. It's really a learning program. So it is now an educational program, a four month long cohort, where you basically learn how to design technology.
So what would be your typical, let's say, applicant? What would you like to put out there that would attract someone to be a part of Hulihia Labs? I mean, is there something that needs to be, let's say, there's a spark, right? Somebody has an idea. What would you want to encourage people to think about that would perhaps provide that fit into a Hulihia Lab participation?
Oh, yeah. So we're really looking for people who are already in community. And what it is we don't want people to design apps for a community that really isn't theirs, right? So the point of Hulihia Lab is to bring in the people who already are close to the problems that they're seeing. And if you have a passion to solve that problem, right, that's going to come through in your application, because you're in it. You're in that community. You're experiencing this gap, and you're like, there needs to be a solution, and I really want to make this solution happen. Even if they don't know how to do it, right, they don't know what that solution looks like. The main thing that I'm looking at on an application is that you see the problem and you have a passion for solving it.
And Hulihia Labs has been around for basically one cohort, right? This is the first cohort.
Yeah, this is our first year, yeah.
So can you maybe describe some of the suggestions that came in on applications? Like, what was it that you picked up on and then felt, okay, you know, this person has a good kind of idea or a good kind of mission challenge to solve. You know, they should be a participant in Hulihia Labs. What was it that can you describe an example of what that might be?
Yeah, so really on the application, because we want to enforce that you don't need an idea, there actually isn't a field for them to input a suggestion, but they, on the application will list the problems that they're passionate about solving. And so that's really what I'm looking for, is they're describing things that they really want to end up working on throughout the cohort. And when I'm reading the application, I kind of want to see that they are, they're kind of close to it, right? I don't want to see that this is, you know, Silicon Valley kind of tech bro kind of brata, assessing a problem that he's not in, right? So, and you can tell, you know, I can tell actually everybody who submitted to Hulihia Lab, like everyone just seemed to get it, and I'm so blessed that, you know, I read through so many amazing applications. so many people who are just so passionate about solving issues in their community.
So what issue can you share that might be an example of what was presented on an application that kind of got your attention?
Yeah, so one of the ones that came through was figuring out how to get more people involved in like growing their own gardens mm-hmm. at home, but mm-hmm. also being able to monetize that, because there's so much to, you know, creating a business around operating a mala in your backyard and things like that. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so one of the applications had talked about this sort of mala network. So every kind of town would have their own. And so, for example, Waianae,
mm-hmm.
everybody could get on this app, and everybody's, whatever they got in their yard for sale, it would all be on one app, so that one person is not struggling to sell on their own. Yeah.
Mm.
So it's kind of like the power of coming together. And now you have like a community marketplace for everybody who wants to sell from their garden or their yard and whatnot. So kind of also lowering that barrier, right, to getting into selling your produce and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm. Did that idea come in the front door, or was it something that evolved as a result of being part of Hulia Labs?
So that one, it kind of did evolve. It was a little bit like, I see this problem of, you know, I wanted to start a garden, but I had nobody to sell to. It was kind of the pitch, right? Or not the pitch, but the identified problem.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then kind of throughout the application process, talking to this person, it kind of evolved. And there's some other exciting apps that evolved through the program as well, if you want to hear about
them. Sure, that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So one of them I'm really excited about is this volunteer network app, where it basically aggregates a community of volunteers across multiple organizations. You know how a lot of our INA orgs and volunteer orgs, everybody's got their own pool
mm-hmm.
of volunteers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
the goal of this is to aggregate everybody, and we're all kind of sharing from this massive volunteer pool. But not only that, the app gamifies people's participation.
Mm-hmm.
So as they go out to these different orgs, they're earning points, they're earning, you know, little kalo to put into the lo'i that is on the app. It's kind of a cute concept.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But, and, you know, once your lo'i is filled with all your points, all your kalo, you can redeem that, you know, for prizes. So,
well,
stuff coming through.
You know, this is intriguing, because these ideas are great ideas, and then you have a four-month kind of window to give them some tools upon which they can help, you know, sort of build it and take it to the next level. So I'm actually kind of curious, like, during this four-month period, what is it that you help them access? What are some of the tools that you make available? What are some of the mentoring that you might, you know, bring to the table? So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Pohai Panoke, Managing Director of the Purple Prize and Hulia Labs. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Pohai Panoke, who is the managing director of the Purple Prize. And we're here talking about Hulia Labs. And, you know, the description of the process, you know, 4 months, mm-hmm. you've kind of described some of the ideas that started to kind of percolate as a result of participation. So, Pohai, I mean, what is it that you bring to the table through the program that enables, you know, the participants to further kind of like develop their idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so especially now that the program is a lab, right,
mm-hmm.
it is more curriculum focused, whereas, you know, accelerators are a little bit They provide kind of resources, and it's a little bit more do-it-on-your-own, but especially because now there is weekly curriculum, right? So we provide them with a curriculum that changes every month. So the first month is ideation. Well, sorry, the first month is going to be our design thinking that's really grounded in kind of OEV mindsets, local mm-hmm. values. Mm-hmm. It's very place-based design thinking curriculum. And a lot of those frameworks ended up coming from Kamuele Inos over at the Office of Indigenous Innovation mm-hmm. at UH Mauna. So we're grateful for those. Second month, they move into that's now ideation for whatever it is that they want to build, ideation and validation. Third month, they're already jumping into wireframing and prototyping. It's so accelerated. It goes by really fast, but mm-hmm. they're going to wireframe. They learn about prototyping. They start to see a little bit more tools to, you know, how do you start wireframing? What are all the options to start prototyping? Run them through some low-code, no-code options, things like that. And then the fourth month is really, we're already wrapping up. It's going to be, you know, pitching sustainability models and really just prepping them for that event at the very end.
Right, and you actually have an event coming up pretty quickly, pretty soon, which is kind of like the Hulaʻiʻa Labs showcase, right? So what you've just described is the process upon which this four-month period leads up to the actual showcase. And I do want you to talk about the showcase, but I want to also get a little bit of detail. So when the participants are, you know, in the heat of the program, are they getting together as a cohort, or do you pretty much provide them with sort of one-on-one coaching and access to tools and resources?
It's a little bit of a mix of both. So everyone gets together as the cohort, going through the lessons every week. We do 3 weeks are going to be online Zoom sessions. One of them is going to be in person. Everybody gets together. And it really helps to just kind of build pilina, build relationships. And really, honestly, everybody, even though most people are working on their own projects, everyone is so passionate about problem solving that they really end up helping each other anyway, right? Mm-hmm, so it's kind of a beautiful thing to have the whole cohort together.
Are you able to extend this to the neighbor islands as well?
We want to, absolutely. What we're thinking of doing, so we had tried to do hybrid this year, but it was a little bit hard to manage both our outer island. We had one from Maui and one from Hawaii Island. Mm-hmm. Having them zoom in. But so instead of doing hybrid, what we're looking at doing is a full cohort per island every other year. So it would be a different island, yeah.
Oh.
So look out for Hulaʻiʻa Lab, you know, Maui version, Hulaʻiʻa Lab, Hawaii Island coming soon.
So this is going to be the first, Hulaʻiʻa Labs showcase, right, coming up, and this is mm-hmm. coming up kind of like this weekend, right?
Saturday.
And then when you start to, let's say, recruit for 2026 cohort, that's still going to be pretty much a similar format as this year. And then when you start to do like a, you know, like a Maui version or a, you know, Kauai version, that will come in subsequent years.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're going to do yearly focus on the islands. That way we're not kind of overextending. And then the application, so what you want to look out for is probably around February or March is when we would drop a new application for that year's cohort.
So you got a showcase coming up. You know, it's going to feature, what, maybe 10, 12 projects. How would you describe what is going to take place at the showcase? Is it going to be like pitch contest? I mean, what do you have in store for your participants, your first cohort?
Yeah. So this weekend is our Hulaʻiʻa Lab Innovation Showcase. It's going to be Saturday, 3 p.m. And what that looks like is a little bit more of an intimate kind of setting, you mm-hmm. know, not kind of a not too big of an event.
Not too intense.
And that's going to look like, not too intense. Not as intense as when it's an accelerator and you feel like oh my God, you got to impress the investor.
right.
Yeah, so that's another perk of the program is you don't have to, don't have to freak out about that.
Yeah, right.
So that looks like kind of like a demo day is more how I would describe it, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
They are going to present their technologies or their apps that they've built in the cohort one by one. And everybody's got, 8 to 10 minutes to go through, what it is that they built, why, and what does the sustainability look like? How does the app work? Things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, at the end, we have our amazing feedback partners, which is Hawaii Angels. So they are coming to give storytelling and impact feedback to all of our participants. And so that'll happen right after presentations. And then after that, they get their micro-certifications, and the event is mostly POW, and it becomes a networking hour, and people can just mingle, meet the founders, and, hopefully make connections that'll take them to the next level.
Now, I guess real quickly, how what happens after Hulaiʻa Labs' first cohort? I mean, they've presented, they've got sort of like their application. What happens then?
So hopefully... especially with the partners that are coming at this event on Saturday, is mm-hmm. a lot of them will go into further, like, actual accelerators now because they do have an MVP, right? So we were talking about that earlier about how you have to have an idea. So the great thing about the lab is now you go through the lab, now you got your MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can
mm-hmm.
actually go and apply to some other accelerator. You can go apply to Blue Startups and things like that. So pushing them to other accelerators, Elemental, Blue Startups, and things like that. But also, we want to keep them in the network because we are opening up a coffee shop next door, and this is probably a whole other show. That shop will have office space for the innovators who have gone through our programs. So they can come and do co-working there after they've graduated from one of our programs.
And are you talking about Halau'inana over there?
Right next to Halau'inana, we will be opening up a coffee shop called Ko'aka.
Oh, right on. Okay, so if anybody wants to find out more about Hulaiʻa Labs and what's happening for the showcase, where can they go check it out?
Yeah, they can check all of that out on purpleprize.org.
Very good. And they can all, if they have, at open time on Saturday afternoon, they can go check it out, right?
Please come check it out. Yes, Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m.
Very good. Pohai Panoke is the managing director of the Purple Prize and Hulaiʻa Labs. And Pohai, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Mahalo, Brett. Mahalo for having me.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the interstellar visitor called 3i Atlas. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.